This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio on this grey and rainy day today. 10 days to Christmas. Well, what are we going to do about that? Let's hope we all have a wonderful, wonderful, joyful time. Just remember, we do have winter solstice, I can't say my words, on the 21st, which is supposed to be the darkest day of the year. But I was reading somewhere actually that that's already happened, so maybe we're very, very slightly out of the natural cycle with our human calendar. But there we are. I'm going to just start with a little bit of news, and it does kind of tie into today's guest. I'm really, really excited to speak to today's guest. This person is coming along with some very important and worrying news about the state of the world, but we'll get into that in a moment. Before I do that, this is a news piece that went up onto mygreenpod.com today, written by my lovely wife, Katie. It's actually about tracing the UK river pollution. So I don't know if any of you are close to rivers, if you get out to rivers, whether you go swimming in the local rivers. We certainly do up here in North Yorkshire. But check this out. This is a Brighton scientist's to pioneer a DNA-based forensic tool to trace sources of water pollution. Now, there was some research done, I think, during the summer. They monitor the rivers, and I think every single one of our rivers was polluted beyond the point that it was safe to swim in, which is obviously not fantastic news. But this is the University of Brighton researchers are leading a national project to develop a diagnostic tool to locate human sources of pollution in UK rivers, ensuring cleaner, safer water for swimming and drinking. So this is good news. Now, funded by the National Environment Research Council, which is the NERC, the NERC, the three-year project brings together an interdisciplinary team of experts to test a first-of-its-kind tool which can trace the sources of pollution in UK water bodies, including rivers, lakes, streams, and it's used for drinking water supply and for recreational activities. The article goes on, it says, by using advanced DNA sequencing technology, scientists can search the samples for bacteriophages, which are viruses that infect bacteria and are naturally found in the human gut and shed in our feces. So the new portable diagnostic technology will enable scientists to collect and analyze water samples, both in the field and in the laboratory. And this will be a major improvement in the traditional water testing technology, which relies on cultural bacteria in laboratories, a process that is slow and it fails to reveal the presence of human contamination normally before it's too late. So you're not really warned before you get in to the water, which obviously is an important thing. It says currently no river in England meets the good chemical status set by the Water Framework Directive, the internationally recognized standard which regulates the quality of water bodies across Europe. It says pollutants found in sewage and industrial discharges are produced by agricultural and wild animals continue to impact water purity, leaving only 16% of English rivers classified as being of good ecological status. So that article does go on. It talks about the nearly £1 million that's being spent on the project. It tells you a little bit more about it. But I think overall, I think that's really, really good news that there could potentially be this new way of, tracking our water systems. And therefore, if you do want to get out, get the kids in the rivers and obviously know that you're drinking good water, this has got to be a good thing. So wanted to share that with you. There's obviously loads and loads and loads of other articles in anything that you're interested in when it comes to sustainability and climate. So don't hesitate to go to mygreenpod.com. There's thousands, if not thousands and thousands of interesting stories that are all written by our team here. Predominantly by Katie. So if you're into cycling, walking, running, eating, going on holiday, cars, EVs, energy, the whole thing, you can go to mygreenpod.com and just get clued up on everything that you might need to know. So you can become a solution to this terrible crisis that we have on our doorsteps with the climate, and not a problem, because many of us don't want to be the problem. We absolutely want to be the solution. So let me just go on to our guest. Today's guest is a gentleman called Daniel Harwich. Here's a bit of a bio about him, just so you get to know him. Well, of course, we'll get to meet him properly. But Daniel is an award-winning filmmaker and journalist. Now, in 2024, he received the Federal Cross of Merit for inventing the genre of the investigative feature film. That's amazing. Seven of his most recent projects were produced as, I don't know how you pronounce this, it's ARD in capitals. So let's say ARD, theme evenings and focus on different investigative subject areas. In 2014, so 11 years ago, he examined the 1980 Oktoberfest attack. It was called the Blind Spot. In 2017, he tackled the issue of substandarded and counterfeit medicines with the feature film The Poison, and the documentary Dangerous Medicines, Adulterated, Diluted, and Counterfeit. In 2018, he explored the origins of terrorism and the role of intelligence agencies in the feature film called Seeds of Terror, and the accompanying documentaries, Trial of Terror and The Business of Terror, which won the Bavarian Television Award in 2021. Congratulations. His 2016 Grime Award winning ARD theme evening on illegal arms exports, the feature film Merchants of Death, and a documentary called Deadly Exports, How the G36 Assault Rifle Came to Mexico, and was continued in 2020 with the investigative feature film Merchants of Death 2 and the documentary Deadly Exports, Arms Managers on Trial. In 2022, Daniel initiated the first ARD investigative theme day with hashtag Our Water. The feature film Till the Last Drop was screened at the German Bundestag on 14th of May, in 2022, of course, and together with the documentary Till the Last Drop, When Our Water Disappears, and the three-part miniseries Thirst, achieved record-breaking viewers for ARD. That's amazing. I mean, this is such a repertoire. And in 2024, he created Our Earth, hashtag Our Earth, an ARD theme day about the fight over critical raw materials and corruption in European politics. politics. Gosh, I bet that's interesting. The investigative feature film At the Abyss and the related documentary series At the Abyss Battle for Resources continued to the strengthening of the anti-corruption laws for members of the German Bundestag. He's also the author of loads of non-fiction books, Seeds of Terror, Pharma Crime, Network of Death. I mean, you know, this list just goes on and on and on. Welcome to the show, Daniel. I had to get some of that out so people could get a bit of background on you. But to be honest, I could fill the whole show with the
No,
films that
but I
you've
had
made.
to hold myself back. You know, I'm of the tribe of how do you say? Like, I don't like to shine the light on my own work or myself.
Well, we have to shine it for you.
I prefer to be on the other side of the camera or the microphone, and I actually do love to ask questions and to listen. So, you know, for me, being the one answering questions today is, of course, a great honor, but on the other hand side, also somewhat intimidating. So thank you very much for giving me that opportunity, and I will hopefully you'll have it's going to be interesting for both of us. Just to get the pronunciation right, it's
Yes,
the
please.
ARD, which
Yes.
is basically the equivalent of the BBC. So exactly,
ARD, thank you.
ARD is
Thank you.
First German Public Television. That's the British Broadcasting Corporation equivalent in Germany. It's the biggest television and streaming network in the German-speaking territories. And yeah, I mean, it's like one of the major
Yeah.
players or the
Thank
major player.
you for that correction, and
No, of course.
apologies to any German citizens out there that I've mispronounced your public TV service. I'm very sorry. Thank you for the
Don't worry,
correction,
but you
though.
got my name right. I was
Yeah,
very happy about
good.
that.
That's the
That's
most
really the tricky part. Yeah.
important
No, but you know, you mentioned when you were talking about the river project that your
Yes.
wife just wrote about for your website.
Yes.
We actually did a very similar crowd science project 3 years ago with our water. We asked our viewers, and I mean, our water ended up becoming the most successful programming on ARD of all times, which is super interesting. And you know, again, we're talking today, of course, about something very problematic and something that's going to be very upsetting for a lot of people like us who want to save
Yeah.
our world and who want to do something good for climate. But we can also say, or I can say for us in Germany at least, you know, we've got this general feeling that subjects like climate protection and environmental protection are out of fashion right now. And people, you know, there's so many crises in the world. People want to, you know, hear something else. Listen to there's bigger problems right now in the world and life of people, economical
Yeah.
war in Europe, etc. But at the same time, our programs that take that, you know, we look at the climate crisis and the problems with it, we get re record ratings. The Water Project became the most successful program of all times. Our current project that we'll talk about right now, that aired like a month ago on ARD, has become the most successful movie of the year. And so, again, even although all these problems are hitting us as citizens, as citizens of a working democracy in Germany,
Yeah.
At a speed that I haven't experienced in my lifetime, still people do care about the environment and people do want to find solutions. So again,
Yeah.
even if we're talking about something very difficult today, I think there's still reason to be optimistic about it and to try to find a way forward.
Yeah, well,
And
I
again,
love that about you. I love that about you because, you know, I mean, clearly you have been uncovering fundamentally important stories to people. And that's, you know, it's a huge task. It's a bit like me working in the sustainability space. You know, you read nearly every day the doom and the gloom about this climate crisis, and it's very, very hard to stay positive. So I'm really, really glad you've said that. I think there is a lot to be positive about, but at the same time, we've got to get this information out to the public. So Daniel, let's just look at your history a little bit. So I mean, look, huge repertoire. Amazing, amazing films. Being an investigative journalist, you know, I massively respect because my wife is that and has been that, you know, in all of her career. I know how difficult it is, particularly when you're fighting against, you know, not just brands, not just organizations and big companies, but you know, you've been in the political field as well. Tell me, when were you most disturbed by what you uncovered? What's the sense that you felt most disturbed by?
That's an excellent question, Jarvis, actually. The most disturbing, I mean, we covered, as you said, a lot of very difficult terrain, a lot of dangerous topics. All of our films that we did, all of our events had a substantial political impact. We changed laws, there were big investigations following up our films, etc. Except for one project, and there was the project called Poison on the pharmaceutical industrial complex. We uncovered that companies like Pfizer outsourced pretty much all of their production facilities to India and China over the last decades in order to save money for their raw materials as well as for their API production and the final pharmaceutical product. And to a certain extent, we were able, even with Pfizer, to prove that they lost control of their manufacturing quality, which is insane. I mean, that's something. I mean, we're talking about life-saving medicines. We're talking about cancer medications. Medications that cost thousands and thousands of euros or pounds per month for patients. And we were able to prove that there were, quality issues in the batches that we tested. We went on to find, we worked with private investigators that were whistleblowers within Pfizer that provided us with exclusive information. And you know what happened politically? Nothing.
Nothing. No,
Even
no.
on at our premiere, there were dozens of lobbyists from the pharmaceutical
Yeah.
world. They were all like trying to, I mean, nobody fought us legally. Nobody attack like the what we realized happened was a lot of backdoor policy making, basically trying to tell politics, don't get involved because this issue is so big, the outsourced production facilities, we can't solve it. There's no way of bringing it back to Europe because it's too expensive, it's too polluting, it's too dirty, that business. We need to leave it in India and China. We'll do a little bit of nice wordings around it, and then and just keep your feet still. That project was in 2016, so 4 years before COVID hit hard.
Gosh.
And even today, with the dependency on China and the trade war, we realize the predicament that the pharmaceutical industry brought us into. So again, that's the one where I feel the most frustrated about, because I think it's one of the most important researchers. And the one where the pharmaceutical lobby pretty much was able to prevent any political backlash. And that's frustrating. But again, we've got a lot of there was a lot of change. We had a lot of attention, was very successful as well. But just the in comparison to all the other projects that we've done so far, it's just But let's
That was a big machine to fight. I mean, you hear, I think we've heard so many horror stories about these big pharmaceutical, as you call them, industrial complex, industries that are they're so powerful. They're so powerful. They're paying governments, they're paying media, they're paying everybody off. And
Yeah, and
that's
that's leading up to the subject that we're talking about right now, because
Yes.
even if companies want to do good, for people, like there's a lot of companies that at least claim, and I actually believe them, they want to do good.
Yes.
And even there's the possibility of leading things ad absurdum.
Yeah, well, let's get into that. I don't want to do a spoiler alert at this moment because I think this might be a very good time to go to a commercial break.
It's a cliffhanger.
And then we have lots of time to actually get into the detail of what we're going to talk about. So don't go away. We're here with Daniel. He's going to actually be uncovering his latest project, which was really, really close to my heart because I've actually had some personal inputs into this sector. So don't go away. We'll be back shortly. See you in a minute.
The station that makes you feel good.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. If you just tuned in, I'm here with Daniel Harwich, who is an incredible filmmaker, documentary maker, investigative journalist. We've just got into his history, his past, but we're going to talk about the current project, Daniel. Give us a little bit of background, please, before we get into it. What's been going on in your recent project?
So basically, we've been looking at ways of how to fight the climate crisis, how to, you know, find a way out of the misery that we the big crisis that we're all looking at and that we all want to overcome. So yeah. One of the biggest projects over the last decade is the idea of upforestation, reforestation, building forests. So the basic idea of, you know, let's turn a parking lot into a forest. It'll capture CO2. So there's a certain CO2 emissions capture element to it, and let's see, you know, and let's try to make to use it as a counterbalance to the emissions that we're not able to reduce. So it's this circular idea that started basically with the as a requirement, because we are not able to adjust our way of life and the way that our industries work quickly enough in order to make a real difference in terms of climate change. So let's do, you know, emissions exchange, CO2 carbon capture projects all over the world. So we decided to go ahead and take a look at these kind of projects, especially in the free market. So I'm not talking about, and I think it's very important to differentiate between the European emissions trade, which is at this point still a well-working emissions certification system that has been built with a lot of effort and by a lot of smart people over the last 20 years, and it's working. But we're looking at the free market, the unregulated global market of CO2 emissions trading. So we went ahead and looked at globally to see where the biggest reforestation efforts are taking place. And the biggest area in the world is Brazil. And within Brazil, it's very interesting because most of those projects, or all of those projects, are not happening in the Amazon that everybody knows, or Pantanal that pretty much a lot of people know as well in the south of Brazil. But in central Brazil, in an area, in a biome, in an ecological system called the Cerrado, it's an area that most people, I mean, I personally, up until like 4 years ago or so, I never heard about it. When I heard about it for the first time, you know, Cerrado, I thought the person was talking about like ham from Italy. Serrano, you know, ham.
Yes.
So it's obviously it's an unknown biome. I had no idea about it. We flew into Belo Horizonte, which is the capital of Minas Gerais, one of the states in the center of the Cerrado. And only then did I realize how huge the Cerrado was. It is, you know, considered to be like a dry or dryish semi-arid landscape. But in reality, it spans from the ocean, so from the coastal regions up until past Brasilia, the capital of Brazil. It's huge. It's super diverse, from like jungle-like regions up until like mountainous territories. It is six times the size of Germany, so it's huge, mm-hmm. and it's almost unexplored. So we realized when we got there and we looked at these big reforestation projects, and we were surprised to see that in order to plant new trees, basically natural forest and the people living there in the Cerrado region were basically kicked out. And I mean, there were murder cases and violence and a lot of conflicts within the local communities caused by these reforestation projects. So basically, in order to plant trees, in order to capture CO2 as an emissions trade for our emissions in Europe or North America, people were kicked out of their homeland. The natural forest was torn down. And instead of that, they're building eucalyptus monocultures. So huge, unimaginably huge swathes of land planted with monoculture eucalyptus trees that are also foreign species to Brazil. I mean, Brazil doesn't have eucalyptus. And the idea behind it is to capture CO2. So for us, it opened a whole can of worms in terms of questions. So we were asking, you know, is it, I mean, I let me take one step back at this point, because I do think that in order to solve the climate crisis, we do need to ask ourselves tough questions. Mm-hmm. So if this, you know, system of building eucalyptus monocultures in order to capture CO2 is the solution or could be one of the solutions for combating the climate crisis, I do personally think we need to talk about relocating those people. I mean, obviously not by violence, obviously not with murder and corruption, but by means of, you know, with good compensation and exchange of land or something like that. But if this is, you know, if this has the potential to be a solution, we were very open-minded about it. So when we asked around and, you know, asked, for example, the World Bank or the United Nations or the Brazilian authorities, also the German authorities that are investing money into the system and the companies there, if it actually makes sense, if the system makes sense, if it makes sense to kick the people out and tear down the Cerrado natural forest, they told us, we don't really know, because nobody has ever tested the Cerrado ecosystem for biodiversity, environmental potential, CO2 carbon capture, etc. So they're already for years tearing down incredible sizes of land, destroying natural carbon capture systems, biodiversity that is unique globally, that is one of the most important suppliers of water. Most of the big water streams in Brazil stem from the Cerrado region. So it's incredible the amount of devastation and destruction, natural destruction, is happening there. And then you hear that, you know, as an answer, the answer you get when you ask yourself, you know, does it make sense to destroy this beautiful landscape? And the people responsible for it tell you, you know, we never really asked that question.
Wow.
It was insane. That happened 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we ended up, by coincidence, we found a German university, Weinstephan Triesdorf, so near Munich, that had just started the globally first project in cooperation with three Brazilian universities, State University of Brasilia and two more, with the goal of testing the environmental services and the biodiversity, CO2, carbon capture, water, etc., of the Cerrado for the first time, and directly comparing them to the same features of the monoculture plantations. So it was a huge coincidence, and for the last 2 years we were accompanying those scientists. So we basically, our research was two-pronged. One was focusing on the social aspects, so land conflicts, violence around these plantations and the land conflict, together with a German professor who was actually heading the geography department at the State University of Minas Gerais in Belo Horizonte, named Clemens Laschewski, and another team of scientists, Professor Dietrich Dahn and Dr. Katrin Meinhold from the University of Weihenstephan Triesdorf, who are doing the work that Indiana Jones really does. Like, that's the I always said, like, the work that I experienced with those guys over the last 2 years is the true work of Indiana Jones. It's like going into the bushes, going for miles and miles of walks through at the end of the world through a Cerrado vegetation that is very unfriendly to life, and trying to understand the biome, digging holes, taking samples, thousands of, I think, over 2,000 soil samples, just to connect to get an idea of the carbon capture potential of these soils, and it was amazing. I mean, the results were published. We published the results like a month ago now, when we published the event in Germany, and it's very clear. I mean, it's the natural habitat, as you could already see with your own eyes, has multiple potential of the monocultures. But that's not the end of the research. You would think that that's already pretty crazy. You've got, you know, these land conflicts, these tragedies that we saw on the ground, the matter of life and death. We were even ourselves targeted by those plantation operators. They were chasing us. We had contract killers out on us. I've never experienced any production like that in my life. It was absolutely traumatizing, and for all of us involved, a very unique situation. But what happened, or what the research continued even on a crazier spin, because, you know, we at that point we were already able to document the land conflicts and the crimes against humanity, and the crimes against nature, so the destruction of natural habitat. And suddenly we were able, or basically while filming all of that, we realized a lot of trucks going throughout the regions. We saw we discovered hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of charcoal huts being built all over the Cerrado region, where the trees that are supposedly saving the carbon, that are being built in order to capture CO2, are being burnt to charcoal. So they're taken down, burnt into charcoal, shipped to steel mills, and used in order to produce so-called green CO2 reduced sustainable steel products that go straight all over the world, even to Europe, even to Germany. Wow. And being used as, you know, sustainable green steel products for building public train lines, for building public buildings, it's incredible. I mean, it's the icing on the cake. It's the absolute absurdity.
So to be clear, and thank you for that. I mean, it's just astonishing. But so what you've got here is you've got a very, large piece of land in Brazil that nobody really knows about, that has its own natural biodiversity. So there will be, millions of years of carbon capture in this
absolutely land,
right? In the soils, in the trees, in the bushes, and all the biodiversity. Then you've got an organization or multiple organizations that have come in and gone, okay, Let's rip down the natural environment and let's plant not invasive trees, non-indigenous trees in that country. And we all know that eucalyptus trees are grown predominantly for their usage. They're very, very rarely are they used for carbon capture because they're just a fast growing tree. I do get that. But usually they're grown for a purpose to be cut down so the wood can be used for something. So that's the case. Then you found that these trees are then being cut down to turn into charcoal. The charcoal's being used to create steel. So clearly there are some big businesses behind this operation.
Absolutely.
But what happens then if you've invested into the carbon offtake? Yeah. So if you're Microsoft or Google or whoever it might be, you've invested in the carbon offtake, or a country. It could be any of the countries, because they all have to buy as part of their NDCs. They've paid money for that carbon offtake, but then that carbon offtake is taken out of the system. So how is that ethical?
That's the question I ask myself as well. I mean, what we observed, or what we really, what for me, the most, how do you say, the best example for this carousel, for this circular, for this idea. I mean, to be honest, and again, I want to take a step back,
please,
literally, because every single step along the way makes sense individually. You know, it's a great idea to turn a parking lot into any kind of forest, even if it's monoculture, even if it's eucalyptus. It's a great idea to take down monocultures because, as you said, they're a bad idea. They're not good. They're an invasive species. They ruin the water, etc. And it's also a great idea to substitute oil, gas, or coal with a theoretically renewable source of energy, which is charcoal.
Yeah.
So each one of those steps is totally great. It's a wonderful idea.
That stacks up
in its own
right.
Putting it together is insanity.
Yeah.
And that's what the World Bank has really been, I'd say, the most crucial player in. And especially in order to, like, the idea behind it is, you know, combat climate change or find a way to solve the climate crisis.
I'm so sorry about this, everybody that's listening out there. Please excuse us. We are having a very slight technical issue. Daniel is actually not in the studio. He's actually recording this from his wherever he is, I think in Germany. So just bear with us. Let's just see if we can make sure we get him back online, because I'm sure you're as riveted as I am about this story. If worst case issue, we'll go to a commercial break and we can come back.
So
after
I should
break.
Be back.
Oh, great. You're back. Fantastic. Okay, wonderful.
Sorry for the technical disturbances. I'm in a country that I cannot disclose, I'll tell you next year about it.
Okay.
No, sorry for that. But it's very hot where I am, so I'm sweating. Sorry. Too much information at this point. So, I don't know where you lost me. But, you know, it's three great ideas. It's the World Bank that really brought these ideas together in order to support, in my understanding, the Brazilian steel industry that employs a lot of people, that is trying to get cleaner. I mean, they're using a lot of coal there, so they're trying to, you know, help them modernize and, you know, help the Brazilian economy, which is the job of the World Bank.
Yeah.
And the big steel corporations, I mean, we looked especially at ArcelorMittal, which is the second largest steel producer in the world, but also companies like Aperam, which is also a multi-billion dollar stock-listed giant in Brazil and a huge international player, and Gerdau. All those companies are in the carbon offset and charcoal green steel business. So it's not some small players. It's actually a global
huge.
Issue.
Huge.
Yeah, and getting, and you know, in order to build a cliffhanger for the next commercial break, you know who else is in this kind of carbon offset game in Brazil, in the Cerrado? Companies like Apple, like Microsoft.
Yeah.
They're all in it. It's crazy. And I don't understand why. Like, it's so obvious that this is not a good idea.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely brilliant, and thank you for that cliffhanger. Let's get into that. Let's try and unpick this, because I think what's really important for our listeners to know is you know, from research and from, you know, all of the work that we do, we know that 98% of the, you know, the people out there, you know, our listeners, you know, consumers, communities, they all want to make a difference when it comes to the climate crisis.
Absolutely.
The problem is that because they are so bombarded, or we, should I say, not, it's not them and us, it's we are so bombarded by the noise, it keeps us either not clear about the changes we should make, so therefore we end up not taking them, or it's greenwashed, so we're fooled into a false illusionary state. And now you've mentioned those big companies, because the reason why those big companies are involved is because they have to buy, they have to offset their businesses and the way that they do things by buying these things called carbon credits. So we're going to find out some more about this. We'll get into unpicking the industry. And really, the reason why I think it's important is because everybody out there that actually wants to make a difference, they can then boycott some of these companies, which actually then will have an impact. So we'll come back to that in a second. Let's go to the second commercial break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. I'm sure you are all sitting on the edges of your seats hearing this news about these, you know, awful industries that are profiting from natural resources that are making climate crisis even worse than it is already. Just to flag some useful information for you. In the latest research that has been independently done on the climate crisis, we have to reduce, as a planet, we have to reduce our emissions by 50% by 2030, and then we have to decline. No, we have to peak by 2030 and then reduce it by 50%. That's right, isn't it, Daniel, if I remember rightly?
That's what I heard as well. But still, it's numbers that are, at this point, very hard to achieve.
They are, completely. It's growing and growing and growing every year since the Paris Agreement started. So that's obviously, a false economy in itself. Daniel, I know you've done an amazing talking and you're obviously incredibly passionate about this, but I also would like to get one of your songs into play before we get into the next rhythm of these companies we're going to talk about. Tell us the song that you've chosen, and then after we've played it, you can tell me why you chose it. So what are we going to play first?
I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen.
It's such a perfect song for you because you really are on fire. Great record. Sorry, apologies. Daniel, how does it make you feel when you hear that song? I think it's pretty obvious why you chose it.
It might be like, that's the obvious thing with art. Everybody interprets it in a different way.
And yes,
for me, like, a lot of people that I talk to about Bruce Springsteen, who's one of my favorite artists, also the Beatles, I could have chosen that as well for UK Health Radio. I'll do that next time. But or the Rolling Stones. But when you talk about Bruce Springsteen, people think about melancholy and think about like this old way of life, etc. And it's so funny because it's a song called I'm on Fire. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be melancholic. Mm-hmm. It kind of sounds like it, if you listen to it for the first time, but if you listen to it deeply, it reflects the way that we work. You got to be calm. You got to be reflective. And you got to be on fire and pay attention to every single detail all the time and be prepared to jump whenever you have to. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes this song so important to me. And
I love it. I love that the way you've described it like that, because absolutely, it's so subjective, isn't it? These songs,
absolutely,
the way we listen to them. Thank you. All right, let's get back onto this train.
You said, and that's the thing, all these big corporations, yeah, they either are forced by regulators to do carbon offset or want to have a great image. Like, for example, Apple wants to claim for itself that it's producing its iPhones, tablets, etc., in a climate neutral way or climate friendly way.
Yeah.
Which, again, I'm an Apple guy. Like, I'm talking to you right now through a brand new iPhone.
Yeah.
I try to skip every now and then every other new release, but at the same time, it's one of the products that I work with most.
Yeah.
So. But at the same, I love the idea of buying a green product.
Yes.
And if it's a carbon neutral product, which is suggested, that's what they're advertising with. It's a green climate neutral iPhone that you're buying with a lot of money, of course, but let's, keep the price aside. But the idea is I can do something good by consuming.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the mistake is happening.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, using climate friendliness, CO2 neutrality, etc., as a sales pitch is already the wrong approach. And I think that's where a lot of things are going wrong, because obviously those companies have to look globally, where can we invest? What can we do in order to, offset our carbon emissions?
Mm-hmm.
And there are not that many huge, not that many serious carbon offset projects around that you could just say, like, let's put a couple of billion dollars in it and plant a natural forest or protect the rainforest. There's not enough of it in order to offset those kind of emissions, and that's what leads us to this kind of situation right now. So I mean, obviously this steel industry, it's just that's criminal what's happening. That's my perception. It's a crime against nature and a crime against humanity that is happening there in Brazil.
I agree.
If you talk about all the other companies, it's just the major fault is already in the basic idea behind using greenwashing as a sales pitch.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you've very very clearly and articulated the issue. The issue is that we as a species require, infrastructure, transport, houses, systems, the whole thing that allows us to live this convenient life that we live. But what is the cost? And clearly the cost is to the earth, right? Let's not talk about the monetary cost. Let's talk about the planetary cost or the future generational cost for our children and their children.
Sorry for interrupting.
No, please go.
We also, for the last 15 minutes, we also forgot about the social costs. I mean, we're talking in the Brazilian Cerrado region, we're talking about approximately 1 million people, especially from traditional communities, which are made up, they consist of so-called the indigenous communities, so-called quilombolas, which are the descendants of slaves that were able to flee the big urban centers of the last centuries, mm-hmm. and small rural farming communities. Yeah. So we're talking about approximately 1 million people.
Yeah, and these are really indigenous peoples that look after
losing
the biodiversity.
Their habitat. Number one, who could be better suited in order to look after a biodiversity and CO2 carbon capture than those people that have been living with and off the forests for the last centuries? Mm. You know, to bring in some city corporations in order to plant monocultures is just not a great idea. Like, again, it's so, like, the crazy thing is how obvious the mistake is and how we're still running for it. I mean, again, I can't tell you where I am right now, but I flew here with a Lufthansa ticket, at least one leg, and I booked a green ticket. Mm. What does it mean? It's a carbon offset ticket.
It's an offset.
So you pay 10% more in order to offset the carbon footprint. And where does the money go? I don't know, but maybe into a project that is building eucalyptus trees in Brazil.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So look, I think you've really...
And it's very... Sorry, I need to add one more thing.
No, go.
And it's very intransparent. It's, you know, if you try to, you know, find out if the car... Because, like, again, I believe in carbon offset. And I think it's... I believe in anything that can help us combat climate change.
Yeah.
And so I believe in carbon offset. So when I click, for example, at Lufthansa and on the green option, and I pay the 10% extra, there's no way for me to find out where exactly my carbon offset goes.
Yeah,
they do projects in Brazil. They don't specify. They don't give you answers if they do it in the Cerrado, if they do it in the rainforest. You know, it's very, very difficult to get transparency in there. And I think, you know, one thing, and I think the most important thing to understand is that at this point right now, everybody is playing ball.
Yeah.
The World Bank came up with the idea, the steel industry and the tech players and all the other companies looking for offset are playing along. The big certification agencies that we all believe in, because I mean, there's like a big trust, especially from the environmental community, in certification processes that we say, like, we don't trust the big steel companies. But if the FSC, the Forest Stewardship Council, for example, if they say, these plantations are upkept to our highest standards, then I would believe in theory, okay, you know, it's probably a good business. It's probably well done. It's probably environmentally sound, and it's probably socially fine. Yeah. But the reality is, you know, we looked at plantations that were FSC certified. We looked at plantations that are not FSC certified, and it's the same everywhere. It doesn't really make a difference. Mm. There's social conflicts, there's environmental conflicts. In the end, for me, the label is nothing else but a greenwashing system on a global scale, and everybody's playing ball. Mm. The governments let those, these organizations to a far, very far degree present themselves as NGOs, as tax-deductible do-gooders. It's highly problematic, and I ask myself, who's really profiting off it?
We know who's profiting off it. Everybody at the top, that elite, that elite 10% that controls about 80% of the world's economy. You started off talking about this as an unregulated when you went into doing the research, you were researching the unregulated market. Have you found that actually these are supposed to be regulated projects, or are they still coming under the unregulated, very grey area?
It's not very grey area because we're talking about some of the biggest stock listed companies globally. So
yeah, that's right.
We're talking about the unregulated market, so it's not the European regulated market. Yeah. As of now, and that's where things are changing.
Yeah.
Actually, it was just decided last week on the European and the German level, for example. The European Union is opening the carbon offset trade, so the regulated European carbon trade, by 5% to third countries, which again is including exactly those kind of projects that we just uncovered in Brazil. So the unregulated market is now suddenly, is now suddenly creeping into the working regulated European emissions trade. And that's incredible. Because that's, knowingly on the political side, they know after this project, which was, you know, released a month ago, just on time for the beginning of the World Climate Conference, we uncovered this system. They know what is happening. They know that these kind of projects are not working, that they're not, it has nothing to do with climate protection. And they still last week decided politically in the European Union to open the European emissions trade to exactly those kind of projects. That's frustrating.
It is, it is. Let's talk a little bit. We're running out of time. We've literally got a few minutes to the end of the show. I really want to get in. Everybody that's listening to this is going to be, I can imagine them screaming at the radio, shouting, jumping up and down, you know, annoyed, angry. What can they do? What can people do? Like, give us
watch
a bit
the program. You can post the links to the program in the ARD streaming services. It's available globally. They can stream it. They can talk to the legislators. They can talk to forward it to activists. They can take it to groups. They can call me. They can send me emails. I'm available on Instagram for anybody. Just write me a message. I'll give you information. Again, we need to take this kind of talk to the political level.
Yeah,
we need
okay.
to make this talk of town and in order to make the world a better place. I mean, again, if we stop talking about it, you know, things will never get better.
No, no, absolutely. So if you do want to reach out to Daniel directly, if you do use Instagram, his account is dharich. It's just D. H-A-R-R-I-C-H. What's the name of the film? What? How can people find the film?
It's called Vanished, and it's on the ARD Mediathek. I'll send you the link, and you can post it in the description of the podcast if you want.
We will definitely
ARD Mediathek is like the BBC player or whatever it's called, like the online streaming system service.
Got it. So we can watch a subtitled version of it. Presumably it's in German, is it? But there is a subtitle
of the feature film as well as the documentary.
Yeah, great. So if you want to check out Daniel, go to his Instagram account. I can see there is a link there to the films. So it's dharich. So definitely, definitely do that. Daniel, it's up to you. We've got 2 minutes. You can either have 2 minutes to give us a bit more insight, or we can play a little bit of your second song. The choice is yours.
I'll take choice number three. I want you to take this kind
I love
of,
you I love
no,
you You're brilliant.
I want you to take these kind of talks and your kind of program to schools. I want you to go out to the next generation, to high schoolers, and talk to them. Because right now we're preaching to the choir. Or I assume we're preaching to the choir. We are preaching. We're talking to people that are as involved in climate protection as you and I.
Yeah.
But what we need to do is we need to get the next generation. And that's what I do day and night. Yeah. Whenever I can, I go and talk to schools. I do workshop with schools.
Right.
I explain to them what we do as journalists, what our role is working for public journalistic, so public German television. And how this is important for a functioning democracy. And you've got a democracy to defend in the UK as well.
Absolutely.
I think you're even
brilliant.
Under more pressure than we are in Germany.
Yeah, Daniel, we're running out of time. We've literally got 30 seconds. So thank you so much for joining us. I hear you. I hear your call out to schools. Let's connect offline. I do have a massive educational network that I can tap you into straight away. Dan, you've been an absolute star. Please keep doing what you're doing and please get it in front of us so we can find out more. Appreciate you.
Thanks
for having
me.
Thank you for listening and love you all. Have a super week.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help and you want to be there. With care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code PODCAST20 for 20% off your initial care.com subscription. That's PODCAST20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.